Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, October 25th, and we're glad you're tuned in and listening today over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. We're glad to be able to send these messages out, also by WSOF.org, and appreciate those of you that listen. I remind you that on our website there, we do have these messages in what's called podcast form. It is everything but the music, and we have to keep out the music because of licensing rights and that sort of thing. But nonetheless, we got the messages there, and you can enjoy those, download them, and listen to them at your convenience. Hopefully, that'll be a blessing to somebody. Amen. Well, we're going to get ready to go to the Lord in prayer. Let me mention here, we're on Thursday and headed towards Sunday, the Lord's Day. We've got a special week coming up next week. We're planning on having revival meetings Sunday through Wednesday. Now, I have Brother Larry Raines scheduled to be with us. Dr. Raines has preached here a number of times. Brother Raines has been a real friend to me, to my family, to the church when I pastored there in North Carolina, and then to Brother Hall and his family, and to the church here for years. And so we're grateful that he can be with us. We're looking forward to it. And Brother Raines is scheduled to be with us Sunday through Wednesday, but now we've backed that up. He's only going to preach through Tuesday because of a situation with his medical condition and his health. He's got to see a doctor on Thursday. So I want to pray for him concerning that. We'll mention that in prayer request in a moment. But also want to make that mention to you that he will not be preaching on Wednesday. Lord willing, we'll have a guest preacher. Brother Herbert Williamson is going to be with us for the marathon. And Lord willing, he'll be preaching for us on Wednesday night. And so we'll be looking forward to that as well. We're still having revival Sunday through Wednesday. Then radio marathon Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, which will be the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of November. So if you will remember those things, pray with us about that and pray that the Lord would bless and help in that. Also pray that God would meet with us and give us real revival. Amen. So if you will, pray with us at this time. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for saving me by your grace. I thank you for the privilege to call you my Father. I want to thank you that your Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a son of God, a child of the King, because I've been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for that, Lord. I pray, dear God, for those out there listening that they don't know for sure. They don't have that witness of the Spirit on the inside that they're saved. Father, I pray you'd draw them by the power of the Holy Ghost in conviction. Lord, you might bring them to a place of faith and repentance where they'd believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by your grace. Father, I pray that you'd help those that are saved to serve you like, dear God, we'll wish we'd served you when we stand on the judgment day. Father, I pray for our upcoming meeting as we've asked others to pray. I pray, dear God, that you'd bless, that we'd have true revival, how we need it. Lord, you know our frame and the state we're in, Lord, exactly what we need. We need revival. So I'm praying, dear God, that you'd bless us with that. Then, Lord, I'm asking you that you might help also in the marathon. You know the money we need. You know the help we'll need in it, the encouragement we'll need in it. Lord, I pray that you would grant it according to thy will and for your glory. I pray bless all the preachers that'll be preaching through the week. And, Lord, that you'll bless everything that's come, those that come to help, and everything that's said and goes across radio airwaves to be a blessing to somebody. Father, I pray that you'd help Brother Raines with his health there, Lord, as he gets ready for some surgery. I pray that you'd help him with that, guide and direct and meet the needs there. And Lord, you get the glory for that. Lord, I ask you to touch Miss Sharon and help her in her body. Lord, I ask you to touch Miss Lisa and help her in her body. These ladies around here that are carrying children, Lord, I pray you to help them and meet their needs as they get ready to have the babies. Lord, you be with them and help them through these days. Lord, I pray for Brother and Sister Hall. Would you touch them, help her with her heart issues, and have your way with that in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you that you might touch and help the Bobby Johnson families that had his funeral today. Lord, I pray that you'd comfort them and meet their needs. Bless Brother Gray and the folks there at Vision. Lord, I pray encourage them as well and meet their needs. And Lord, just have your way. Father, I pray that you'd help those that we are duty-bound to pray for, those that we know of that are having needs, and you get the glory for it all. Lord, I pray for other churches we know of having revival meeting and scheduled meetings going on. I pray you'd bless them and use them, and Lord, use the broadcast. In Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen and amen. Well, I sure do appreciate you praying with us, and I thank God for the privilege and opportunity to pray. And we're going to get ready to go to a song now. Yesterday's broadcast, I played a song by Dr. Larry Raines as he was singing with his family and choir backing him up there when he pastored there at the Pleasant View Baptist Church. I think this was right after he had resigned. And the Camp Meeting choir there, they were singing. And boy, it was a blessing singing that song, "When He Reached Down His Hand for Me." And I had some comments about that last night here in the House of God. Some people got blessed. I mentioned that I'm going to be playing a different song today and another one tomorrow. Now, tomorrow he'll be singing "Thanks to Calvary." Amen. And you don't want to miss that. We'll be playing that on the program tomorrow. That won't have the choir backing them up. It'll just be the Raines family, him and his wife and son and his wife and daughter and some of the family members in there singing. And that'll be have been recorded at the Ridgeview Baptist Church there in Wallen, Tennessee, where Brother Wayne Sexton is the good pastor. That'll be on tomorrow's broadcast. But here's another one from the Camp Meeting there at Pleasant View. Brother Raines with the choir singing a song that I'd never heard before, I don't think. And it's, I'm not exactly sure the title. It may be "We're Too Near Home," or it may just be, it may be "We're Almost Home," or it may be "I'm Too Near Home to Turn Back Now." Amen. Either way, I know this song will bless you. You listen and just rejoice while they sing, and then we'll be ready for the message from Malachi, chapter number 2, chapter 3, and we're finishing up chapter number 4 on this week's broadcast. Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, he said, "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment?" Chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Now jump over to chapter 4 and read verse number 5 and 6, last two verses. The Bible said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Here's my thought and my message primarily today. Why is Elijah coming back? Elijah lived in a wicked day, unlike any other day. He lived and called Israel back to the only true and living God. When Elijah said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him." You know what the people said? Not a word. Right. Not one man stood up and said, "I'm on God's side." Not one. Elijah thought he was all alone. And in that day, nobody stood up and recognized they were with him. I recognize there were some men. Obadiah had some men hid by 50s in a cave. Amen. Right. But what good are they doing when it's time to stand up for God? Amen. And Elijah lived in a day that was wicked, a day that was dark, a day that was corrupt, unbelievably corrupt. And yet he called Israel back to the only true and living God. Amen. Ahab and Jezebel were enthroned. Baal was worshipped across the land of Israel. Amen. Amen. And Elijah called for national repentance. He called for the whole nation to repent. Amen. Amen. And he called down fires, you know, from heaven to prove which was the true and living God. But upon his rejection, they rejected Elijah. They, you know, when the fire fell, they all called on God. They all fell in. I mean, they enjoyed the revival. They killed all them false prophets. And they went back down and Jezebel said, "I'll have his head before morning." Elijah ran off and apparently all the people ran back to Baal worship.
Because it wasn't long, God told Elijah, I want you to go over yonder, and I want you to anoint a man to succeed Ahab. Ahab's dying. I want you to anoint a man that's going to execute Jezebel. Jezebel's dying. And I want you to anoint a man to be king over Syria, because Syria's going to attack Israel, and Syria's going to decimate Israel. Israel's dying. That's what he said. They rejected the message. Elijah said, you'll either accept my message, or you'll all perish. That's what he's saying. That's what he's going to say when he comes the second time, by the way. Look in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to the fathers. Look at this phrase. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. He's already prophesied how he's going to smite the earth, how we're going to trample over them. They're going to be as ashes under our feet. They're going to be as stubble before the fire. And he's going to burn the whole earth. You know why? Because they are rejecting and will continue to reject the message of repentance. But Israel on that day will hear and will heed. Thank God. Amen. And amen. Well, for Elijah to reappear, when he does, the nation of Israel must clearly see that they are under the same circumstances that they were when he came first. They must recognize that they are definitely living in dire circumstances and facing the same destruction as before. Amen. Therefore, they will be called upon to nationally repent. They'll be called upon to nationally reject the authority, which is the Antichrist authority that will be over them on that day. The authority of their worldly leaders, they'll be called upon to repent and to reject their worldly leaders and to turn to Jehovah God as their only Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, talk to you a little bit about the person. That's the witness, John the Baptist and Elijah. John the Baptist being partial in the power. Elijah being the person that's going to come. Let me just throw this out. Just interesting. I don't have my notes, but I remember it from a tidbit from history. One of the things that's interesting to me, John came in the spirit and power of Elijah. When Elijah went up to glory, he dropped his mantle. You remember that story? Elisha picked up his mantle. Elisha carried it around. Everybody knew that he was in the power of Elijah. He had the power of Elijah because he had that mantle. And Elisha smote the waters and the waters rolled back. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the waters rolled back just like it had for Elijah. And Elisha walked on. Do you ever wonder what happened to that mantle? You don't find Elisha passing it down to Gehazi that followed him. You don't find him passing it down to the unnamed servant that followed him. You don't find him passing it down to the sons of the prophets. We don't know what happened to it. But Jewish tradition says that they took that mantle and they placed it over on one side of the altar in the temple. Amen. Matter of fact, look with me in Luke chapter 1. I believe that's where it tells you where Zacharias was. Chapter 1 of the book of Luke. Let me see if I can find that real quick. If I knew I was going to talk about it, I'd have marked it. Luke chapter number 1. They say, Jewish tradition says that the people gathered up that mantle of Elijah and that they put it in the temple over on one side of the altar. All right? In verse number 11, Luke chapter 1, verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Guess which side Jewish tradition says they laid that mantle at? Jewish tradition says they laid it on the right side. Now, how many times an angel appears? An angel appeared to Gideon. We're going to wonder which side he was on, which side of the stone. We don't know. The Bible don't tell us. This time it told us specifically which side. Now, here's what they believe. They believe, some people believe, maybe that Zacharias may have gotten that mantle and that was the girdle that John the Baptist wore when the people stood back and marveled at him and the power that he had. I don't know if all that's right or not, but I do know this. John the Baptist fulfilled his part of that prophecy. Amen. That was the person. He came in the power and Elijah will come in the person that was the witness of the Lord. Now, having said that, let's look at the period and I'll close with this thought. The period that we're dealing with. The period of the witness. Malachi chapter 4 verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, before the coming, here's the period, of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. This time frame is speaking specifically of the great judgment day. We talk about the tribulation, we talk about great tribulation. We talk about the tribulation period. There 7 years. There's a time period we know. But there is one day that's going to be more important than all those other days. And that's the day of this great judgment that he's talking about, the day of the Lord. Amen. I believe this is the day that these religious, rebellious Jews will have been calling for, the day they've been hoping for when they said in our text, they said, "Where is the God of judgment?" They were hoping God would bring judgment to the wicked. And God said to them, "Don't look for me to bring judgment to the wicked. I'm also bringing judgment to you. I'm going to bring judgment to your house. Judgment must begin at the house of the Lord." Amen. That's a teaching throughout the Scriptures, by the way. God warns them that they need to be ready for that day to come. And here's where I'm going. And you hold on now. What they need to be ready. They need a preacher in order for them to be ready. Amen. And he said, "I'm going to send you a preacher that'll tell you and warn you about that great day." Why? So they can prepare for it. Thank God. Amen. Now, this point of truth has never been changed and has never been altered. Everybody needs a preacher, amen, to prepare them for Judgment Day. I believe that's right. Everybody needs a preacher. I personally think everybody needs a church and every church needs a pastor. Amen. And I thank God for putting me here. I thank you for calling me. I thank you for allowing me to fit in here. I do. I feel like I fit. I know it's the will of God, so it's what it's supposed to be. I just believe that. Amen. And having said that, at the same time, I recognize that there's a purpose for me being here. I'm not just here so Brother Hall can rest. I'm glad he's resting. I'm not just here so you can keep the things going. Amen. I'm here because there's somebody that needs me. Amen. There's somebody that needs to hear the message. And that is, they need to repent. They need to turn to God. They need to reject the worldly ways that they're listening to and turn to God. Amen. They need a preacher. You may think that preaching is old-fashioned and is antiquated. Amen. Even to the point of being obsolete. Oh, we don't need preaching. We just need singing on the radio. Oh, we don't need preaching. We just need programs on the radio. We just need programs in the church, man. We can have drama. We can get us a drama team and we can get us a praise band and we can have church. No, you can't. Amen. You need preaching. I believe that's right. Matter of fact, I don't just believe it's right. I know it's right. Amen. I do know it's right. Amen. Men and women still need preaching of the Word of God. Boys and girls still need preaching of the Word of God. By the way, that's one of the reasons I'm against junior church. Say amen right there. I'm against them going off somewhere and playing all day. They need to be in the house of God where they can hear the singing and the preaching and see people get right with God and right with one another. Amen. 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 Well, I meant to go to the period. Let me get to the period if I can. At the time period this is involving, notice the different ways this is spoken of through the Scripture. I'm not going to have you turn. I've got Scriptures listed and I sorted through several. I think I had over 100 verses to talk about the day of the Lord. Just that phrase, the day of the Lord. And I sorted out some of them. I want you to listen to the different ways this day is described. First of all, I'm going to read it in Malachi chapter 4. In verse 5, the last phrase, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Malachi said it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a dreadful day. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Isaiah 13, 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Jeremiah 46, verse 10. This is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. And the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Jeremiah said the day of the Lord is going to be a day of vengeance. Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 3, the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen. He says it's going to be a cloudy day. Joel chapter number 1, verse 14, alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Joel 2, 11, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong and executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very very terrible, and who can abide it? Some believe that Malachi's quoting Joel when he said it's a great and dreadful day, when Joel said it's a great and terrible day. Amos chapter number 5 and verse 20, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? There's numerous ways, there's other references to talk about the day of the Lord throughout the Bible. But this brief sample, I wrote down these powerful words. Here's what unbelievers have to look forward to. By the way, it's very scary for unbelievers. He said that day will be a day of destruction. That day will be cruel. That day will be a day of wrath. It'll be a day of fierce anger. It'll be a day of vengeance. It'll be a cloudy day, a destruction from the Almighty, a great and terrible day, a day of darkness. And he said, even very dark. He's talking about this day from the Lord that's coming is going to be a terrible day. We used to sing an old song, there's a great day coming, a great day coming, a great day coming by and by. And it goes on to say, are you ready for that day to come? He said, there's a day coming. Amen. Those that are unsaved have to look forward to that terrible, that great and dreadful day of the Lord. But look what the believer has to look forward to. Look with me in the book of Acts. I'm amazed how the New Testament changes things. Quote scripture and just the change of a word, but the reason is because it's on this side of Calvary. Amen. Acts chapter number 2. I want to show you. Peter is quoting this in his sermon on Pentecost. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Now hold on a minute. That don't sound so terrible. It's a great day. It's not a dreadful day. It's not a terrible day. It's not a dark day. It's not a devastating day. It's not a day of vengeance. He said it's a notable day. What's the difference? See, and hold your place there because I want to read some more. But Malachi warned of this day of the Lord would be great and terrible, or great and dreadful. Joel said it'd be great and terrible. But Peter's preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost said it would be a great and notable day.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in right there again on today's message and hope you'll tune in tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll deal with why that it is a notable day rather than a great and terrible day for the child of God. It's a great and terrible day for the sinner, but it's not a terrible day for the child of God. We'll look at that on tomorrow's broadcast and finish up the message then. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.